welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
What I want to talk about today is really, people often, they always ask, how did you guys accomplish the Dream Center? What did you do to build the Dream Center? Where was your source of strength? Where did the power come from? Where did the ability come from to accomplish what you guys have accomplished? Starting a church at 19 and 20 years old when me and my senior pastor went to Los Angeles. Seeing a church of 39 people completely fall apart in 3 months and end up with 7 people. But then over a few years, now we're running thousands on Sunday, working with 50,000 people a week, 600 people living with us, feeding 30,000 people a week, seeing the homicide rate in our community drop by 73%. Seeing all these incredible and amazing things that God has done, you got to have power to do it. There's got to be a source in your life to be able to accomplish things like that. See, one of my goals in my life is I want to live such a life that the people who are closest to me respect me the most. See, I want the people that see me on a daily basis, those that know me best, my wife, my son. See, my goal in life is to have them respect me more than anyone else. Because the fact is, as a preacher and as a pastor and as a minister, it's easy to get crowds to respect you. Because we can pretty much create any image we want to create from the pulpit and the minds of the people to look at us a certain way. I mean, just the basic fact that you get to stand before people with a microphone immediately gives you some level of respect in their eyes. And so we're able to paint a picture to people. We get to show people our good side. But I want to live such a life that the people who know me off of the stage respect me as the people who know me on the stage. Because it's so, excuse me, it's so easy to become a professional Christian. I mean, it is so easy to become great at being a Christian. To know exactly when and where to show up. To know exactly when to raise your hand. To know exactly when to shout hallelujah or shout amen. See, it's so easy to become good at being a Christian that you can become so good at being a Christian and so good at serving God that you don't even need a relationship with God to do it. See, but what I love about our generation is we have a generation of leaders that not only do we believe in excellence and we believe in professionalism and we believe in being efficient and being great stewards, but we also want an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit, with Jesus Christ. We want to know God, so it's not just our own strength. Yes, we want to strive for wisdom and understanding and become better at every single thing we do, but we don't want to lose the God factor in our life. We don't want to simply be professional Christians, becoming so good at what we do, we don't even need God to do it. We can go through the motions without God. And those of us that are in leadership, those of us that work in the church, this is probably one of the biggest battles that we face. Because we work for God all day long, it's so easy to let our relationship with God slide because you've given so much throughout the day that as soon as you get off work, all you want to do is go and unwind. And you convince yourself that, well, I was working for God all day, that I don't need to push into my relationship with God. Of intimacy will never have real power. Look at Matthew chapter 7 with me. Matthew chapter 7, we're going to look at three verses, 21, 22, and 23. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21, the Bible says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." See, Jesus is saying, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to heaven, but those that are going to heaven are those that do the will of God. If you do the will of God, you're going to go to heaven. If you don't do the will of God, you're not going to go to heaven. See, as a pastor, I counsel so many people that come into the office and they say, I am so scared, I am terrified that I'm going to miss God's will for my life. I mean, how many of you have ever talked to someone who is so afraid they're going to miss God's will for their life? How many of you ever, at one point or another in your life, were living in fear that what if I miss God's will for my life? See, what we have to understand is God's will is eternal. God's will is forever. God's will is not going to pass away on this earth. And when you truly discover what the will of God is, you begin to understand and realize it is impossible to miss the will of God for your life. You cannot miss the will of God. You may choose not to have the will of God, but once you understand what it is impossible to miss the will of God. You see, the will of God for my life the last 15 years was not to live in Los Angeles and be the associate pastor of the Dream Center. That was not God's will for my life. That was God's call for my life. See, God's call is seasonal. God's call is temporal. But God's will is eternal. God's will is not going to pass away on this earth. So you have to begin to discover God's will. Let's keep reading. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? And then verse 23, Jesus says, and then I will declare to them, depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness. See, if you put two and two together, in verse 21, we discover Jesus says, if you do the will of God, you're going to heaven. If you don't do the will of God, you're not going to heaven. And then verse 23, it says, depart from me, I never knew you. So if you put those two verses together, you begin to discover the will of God is simple. The will of God is knowing him. See, if not knowing him gets you a depart from me, and doing the will of God gets you come into heaven, then you begin to discover the will of God is simply knowing him. But the problem I had when I first read that is that as I began to wonder, doesn't the Bible say he knows every hair on our head? Doesn't the Bible say, I know you before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you? So how can Jesus say in Matthew 7:23, depart from me, I never knew you? I mean, he knew us before he formed us in our mother's womb. So whenever I run across something that doesn't quite make sense, what I've realized I have to do is I've got to really study it out to find out what is this really saying? What is the meaning? So what I do in these situations is I get the original text out. Now, understand, I am not a Greek scholar. I don't read Greek. I don't speak Greek. I don't know Greek. But I have a Greek study Bible that above every word in English is a number, and I know how to look up a number. And if I'll simply look up this number, then in the back of the book, it gives me the Greek word that is being used, and it'll give me the full definition of the word. Then if I go to the middle of the book and look up that number, it'll tell me every other place in the New Testament that exact Greek word was used. And when I began to study this in Matthew 7:23, I discovered this was not the word that Peter used when he denied Christ in the garden. See, I may remember the story when they came to Peter and said, you were with Jesus. And Peter says, I don't know that man. Well, the word Peter used in the Greek was the word eido, E-I-D-O, which means to perceive with physical eyesight. Peter was basically saying, I've never seen that man before. I don't know him. But that's not the word Jesus is using here. See, the word Jesus is using here is the title of my message today. To me, it's the most powerful word in the Christian life. It's the word that contains our source of power and our source of strength. It's a word that I pray this morning will be etched into your spirit, burned into your heart. Because the word Jesus is using here when he says, depart from me, I never knew you, is the word ginosko. G-I-N-O-S-K-O. Ginosko. He wasn't saying, I've never seen you before. Jesus was saying, I never ginosko you. See, what does ginosko mean? See, when you study the word ginosko, you find this is the deepest level of intimacy two people can share. This is not simply seeing somebody. This is knowing them intimately. This is as close as you can become with another person. The level of intimacy of this word is so powerful. It was also used in Luke chapter 1 in verse 34 when the angel came to Mary and says, Mary, you're going to give birth and you're going to have a child and you're going to call his name Jesus. And Mary said, how can I give birth since I do not know a man? See, that's the level of intimacy it's talking here. This is the deepest level of intimacy two people can share. See, it wasn't, I don't know who you are, or I haven't seen you before. Jesus is saying, depart from me. We've never had that intimacy. Depart from me. We've never known each other on the deepest level of knowing. And when I began to study this, it frightened me. Because I looked at verse 22. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? I looked at my life and I said, Lord, Lord, didn't I go to Los Angeles at 19 years old? Didn't I give my life to reach people for you, Lord? To reach the homeless, to reach the drug addicts, to reach the prostitute. Lord, Lord, didn't I go there and get beat up and shot at, sleep on floors for months in an abandoned hospital? Lord, I did all this stuff for you. We built ministries. We built churches, Lord. And I thought, what good would it be if I stood before God one day after giving my life to serve him? Giving my life for ministry. Giving my life to do all these good things. And to look at God and have him say to me, depart from me. We never had ginosko. You did all this wonderful stuff. You did all these great things. But you never knew me. Because the truth is, because of growing up with my father and the things my father did and how he abandoned us and left us, the first number of years I was a Christian, I had no relationship with God. I worked for him. I served him. I spent 5-6 years at the Dream Center. I even preached at Faith Camp before I ever really had a real relationship with God. I knew how to do ministry. I loved people. I knew God was real. But I personally didn't want to get close to him because I didn't want him to abandon me like my father abandoned me. So I said, God, I'll serve you, but I don't want to know you. I don't want to be close to you. Just let me work for you, God. I'll work hard. I'll give my life. I'll reach people. I'll do great things for you, God. But I don't want intimacy. Because I don't want to be in a position to get hurt again. And the truth is, I did a lot for God before I truly ever experienced ginosko with him. I asked him to forgive me for my sins. I asked him to save me. I worked hard. But I always held him at a distance because I didn't want to know him. I didn't want to be close to him. And I remember I was preaching at a conference in Sweden about 7-8 years ago. And the speaker on before me was talking about his unbelievable heritage and his legacy. I was parents did incredible things for God, and his grandparents did incredible things for God, and him and his brothers are doing incredible things for God, and he's just going down the line at this amazing godly heritage and this legacy that had been left him and all these incredible things and this awesome work that he was doing for God. And I sat there getting depressed. Sat there feeling sorry for myself. Looking at the legacy, looking at the heritage I have. Two alcoholic grandfathers that killed themselves. A dad that committed affairs on my mom, took off and abandoned us. And I thought, who am I? What can I do in this world? I don't have a heritage. I don't have a legacy. I don't have anyone I can look at in my family and say, you know, how awesome they were. And I just sat there feeling sorry for myself. Sat there getting depressed that night. And I remember the Holy Spirit came to me that night and rebuked me harder than I've ever been rebuked in my life. And I remember the Holy Spirit came to me in that meeting as I sat there feeling sorry for myself and as I sat there feeling depressed. And the Holy Spirit just said to me, listen, if you'll just trust me, if you'll just know me, then one day your children, and one day your children's children, will be able to tell stories about you. And that day my whole perspective on life changed. I realized it wasn't about me anymore. It was about him. And all I had to do is trust him. All I had to do is know him. And I began to realize that the Bible said he'll never leave me. And he'll never forsake me. And no matter how much my earthly father failed and how much he hurt me, God would never fail me. And he would never hurt me. And I could trust him. And for the first time in my life, I began to experience Gnosko. I began to know God. And see, what begins to happen when you get into Gnosko is it produces powerful, powerful things in your life. I mean, there is some powerful stuff that comes out of Gnosko. I love John 7 and verse 37 and 38. To me, it's a great illustration of when you get into Gnosko. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. He said, if anyone thirsts, if anyone is hurting, if anyone is broken, if anyone is in need, let him come to me and drink. Because he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Another translation says it flows from within. See, the power of Gnosko is when you get yourself into Gnosko, when you begin to walk in that intimacy with Christ, you have the opportunity as a believer to live your life from the inside out. Which is the complete opposite of how most people in the world today live. You see, most people in the world, they live their life outside in. What happens on the outside of them determines how they feel on the inside. And how many know with the economy today, there's a lot of people struggling with outside in right now. With the fears of recession, fears of unemployment. We let all these outside circumstances determine how we feel on the inside. We get a raise, we feel good. We get fired, we feel bad. All sorts of stuff happening and affecting us. But see, when you begin to live in Gnosko, the amazing thing is you turn this water faucet on in your life, and there's a stream of living water that begins to flow from within, and out of your heart, the stream begins to flow. See, that's how Jesus, in the middle of one of the worst storms on the sea, when all the disciples are freaking out, can be at the bottom of the boat, sleeping peacefully. Why? Because he was living from the inside out. It wasn't what was happening on the outside that affected his spirit. It was what was happening on the inside that affected. And what began to take place on the inside began to affect the outside. See, it's a water faucet. And when you get into Gnosko, you turn that water faucet on, and that stream of living water begins to flow within you. See, it's like power. It's like electricity. If we turn the lights off in the room, all the power that we need to light the room is available. It's present. It's here. What we have to learn how to do is turn the light switch on. Because when you flip the switch, you activate the power that is already here. So I get so tired of going to prayer meetings. And I hear this all the time at prayer meetings. God, give me more faith. God, give me more love. God, give me more joy. God, give me more power. God can't give you any more faith. He can't give you any more power. Colossians 2:10 says you have been given fullness in Christ. You can't get any more full than you are right now. What you need is what Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 1 when he was praying for the church of Ephesus. He didn't pray that they would receive more power. He said, I pray that you would realize the power that is already within you. See, the power is available, the power is present, but you have to get into Gnosko to begin to flip that light switch on, to begin to turn the water faucet on so that you begin to live from the inside out. And that flow begins from the inside, and out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. Now let's break this down. Because so far it's a really nice message. You know, it makes you feel good. It's all, you know, yeah, we agree with that. We need to have an intimate relationship, Christ. Yeah, I want Gnosko. I want to live from the inside out. But let's be real honest. We got to break this down. What are the tools here? Because to me, preaching is not supposed to be beautiful. See, as a preacher, all my job is to give you a couple dirty tools to get in there and start fixing problems in your life. You know, it's not enough to preach a beautiful sermon that makes you feel good if you don't know how to apply it and make it work in your life. So what are the practical tools out of this message so that we can make this thing work in our life? Because it's just not enough to leave and say, yeah, I need Gnosko. I need to go, you know, try to get Gnosko. Yeah, I'd like to have that. Let me go try to figure it out. See, to me, the way you turn the light switch on, the way you get that water faucet flowing, where that stream of living water begins to flow from within, out of your heart begins to spring rivers of living water. How do you turn that faucet on? To me, you use the tool of worship. And worship's not what you do on Sunday morning when the band is just right and the sound man's got it all figured out and everyone's on key. You know, that's nice. That's a form of worship. But I'm talking about gritty, dirty, raw worship. The tool of worship. Getting the wrench of worship out and starting to fix that problem in your life. And let me be honest. When I first got saved, I had a tough time with worship. Because I thought, who is this arrogant God that demands us to tell him how great he is? I mean, if God is all that, doesn't he know it? Why does he need me to tell him so? And I began to realize worship wasn't just for him, it was also for me. Because when I begin to worship, I begin to put my life back into perspective and understand who God is through worship. So how do you use the tool of worship? This is what I do. When I begin to realize I'm not in Gnosko, and what's the litmus test to figure out whether you're in Gnosko or you're not in Gnosko? It's pretty easy to figure out. What emotions are you experiencing? Are you feeling depressed? Are you feeling anxiety? Are you feeling fear? Are you feeling insecurity? Are you feeling threatened? Are you feeling jealous? Are you feeling an unhealthy anger? How many know what I'm talking about? These are emotions that aren't good. These emotions don't help us succeed in life. They usually pull us down. And the quickest way to figure out whether you're in gnosko or not is just look at your emotional state, and that'll tell you whether you're living from the inside out or living from the outside in. Because when you're dealing with those different emotions, you're living from the outside in. Because something is happening around you that is making you feel one of those emotions. So that's the easiest test to figure it out. So what I do, when I begin to feel these emotions and realize that, you know, I'm not in gnosko right now. I'm not living from the inside out right now. What I do is I go lock myself in the bathroom. I just go find a bathroom somewhere. I just lock myself in the bathroom for a few minutes, and I just begin to force myself to worship God. And I got to force myself to do it because I don't feel like it and I don't mean it. I mean, let's just be honest. I get in the bathroom, I say, God, you're awesome. I don't mean it. I don't think he's awesome. I'm just forcing myself to worship. God, you're awesome. God, you're awesome. And what begins to take place as I force myself to use the tool of worship? Through the process, I begin to believe what I'm saying. God, you're awesome. 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 God, you really are awesome. Wait a second. God, you are awesome. God, you have my life in the palm of your hand. God, you love me. You have good things planned out for me. You have my life ordained. You have ordained my steps. God, you are all powerful. You're not worried about this situation. God, you know a year from now, I'm not even going to remember this. God, you got good things. You got a plan for my life. And all of a sudden, as I begin to force myself to worship, I begin to put my life back into perspective. And as I put my life back into perspective, those things that I were worried about, those things that I was dealing with, they just don't seem that important anymore. When I begin to realize who God is and how awesome he is and how much he loves me, that little thing I'm dealing with just begins to fade in comparison. And what begins to take place is I'm getting myself back into that point of gnosko. I'm getting myself back into that intimacy. I'm getting myself back into that relationship through the tool of worship. By just getting into that place, by loving on God, by getting my perspective back. By realizing how powerful and how awesome God is and that he loves me. And that the God who created the entire universe has a plan for me. That not only did he craft the entire universe and put every star into place, but he created my life and he created my purpose and he created the plan and the call he has for me. And greater is in me than he that is in the world. And I'm the head and not the tail. I'm above and not beneath. I'm a son and not a slave. See, as I begin to worship him, it puts my life back into perspective. As I begin to worship him, I get back into that place of intimacy. As I begin to worship him, I'm activating that light switch and turning on the power that was present all along. I just lost focus. I just lost perspective. And I get that stream of living water. I get that water faucet turned on. And out of my heart begins to flow rivers of living water and life. And I begin to walk inside out again. See, that is the power of gnosko. That is the power of getting your life into gnosko with Christ. So I challenge you as leaders, don't stand before God one day. Doing a lot of great things for the kingdom. And never experiencing gnosko. Never walking in that intimacy. Never knowing him. at that deepest level of knowing. Because it's not enough to serve him. It's not enough to work for him if you don't know him. The key is knowing him. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would take this word ginosko and let us never forget it. Burn it into our spirit. Burn it into our heart, God, that we know each day we have to get in ginosko. Each day we've got to fight to stay in that place. Each day we got to fight to know you intimately, God, so that the power can be available and present and active at all times in our life. Lord, when we feel ourselves stepping out of ginosko, let us get the tool of worship out and get ourselves back into ginosko. Get our lives back in perspective so that we can live our life with that stream of living water flowing from within. We can live our life as believers from the inside out and set an example to the world of what could be accomplished from people who know you, of people who have ginosko with you. We love you, Jesus. In your precious name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.